The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com.
Byron, you're studying anger?
Well, I'm a theater major, and if you're going to have to get on the stage and play characters, you have to be angry at times.
Yeah, you sure do. Even if you're not feeling it, you might have the best day, huh?
Well, if you're going to play a character who's very angry at someone, you must figure out why in the world is this person angry. Anyway, right. I studied quite a bit of psychology. There's a book entitled The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. Are you familiar with it?
I have not read it, but I'm familiar with it. Go ahead.
She made a statement, and I would like to get your response to her statement.
Okay.
Here is the statement. Anger is an internal signal that too much of the self is being asked to be compromised.
Okay. Well, I could ask you your thoughts on that. Something made that so...
That's a smooth move.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm not accusing you of anything.
Go for it.
I just think it's... All right. Basically, I've noticed... in my own self and people that I interact with in the community and my family and that sort of thing, any time I see anybody else that I've noticed, someone attempts to command them or dominate them or abuse them or take advantage of them in any way or to say what they should or should not do when they feel that they should or should not do that particular thing, there seems to be a little rise in temperature.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And so, being able to deal with that, I think, is a very good thing. And my children, 15, 13, and 10, all boys, seem to be developing the ability to basically not particularly look unto anyone but their own internal self for any kind of self or emotional validation.
And so
generally,
they're not dependent.
When they're upset at their mother, they generally just say, "I'm angry," and they leave it up to her to respond rather than that. So I'm really proud of them.
Very skilled at a very young age. Are they role modeling you?
Well, the child is the father of the man, said Wordsworth. So I must say that it is a conjoint effort in this man's development, and I am grateful for them and their inherent intuitive knowledge on these things. I mean, people think that children don't understand the inner workings of their own internal world. That is not true.
No, I fully agree with you. Let me jump in here. What you're describing, the way I look at anger is it's in your injustice detector. It's something very healthy for a person, provided something I'll talk about in a moment. But if I never got angry, if someone stole my purse, if someone told a lie about me, if my husband cheated on me, if my boss didn't pay me, and I just sat there and said, "Oh, well," you know, or if I did the opposite, if I giggled and said, "Oh, isn't that fun?" You would call me deranged. I mean, there's something off with me. So it is proper to have standards, moral standards, and if somebody violates your moral standards, then you feel an emotion, and the emotion is, it's not fair. Somebody did not trade with me voluntarily. Somebody's trying, in your words, to command me, to dominate me, to abuse me, or to tell me what I should or should not do. And they're trying, all those boil down to trying to control my mind, my free will, my choice making. And they're taking something away from me by fraud. They're telling me they're giving me the goods, a car that I think is brand new, but it isn't. And that makes me angry. Anger is your mind's method of detecting injustice, things that are not fair.
I'd like to say something. You have sparked something in my mind. This is a very interesting thing to me. I have noted that oftentimes people's alter ego or shadow side of their personality will become angry when they cannot get me to do what they want. Not their other self, not their true self, but their alter ego
self. Okay, I'm not sure. I would need an example. Do you have a quick example?
Oh, a very quick example. Let's suppose that you have a young lady, a little girl, who was abused as a child by her father, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She grows up with almost like a dual personality, a twin, an evil twin, as it were. And the true self wants to be related to, but the other self wants to be treated. And so...
Okay, I've lost you.
If you refuse to treat this person that I might be in a relationship with, then that shadow side of their self becomes angry because that shadow side cannot relate with that mentality.
Okay.
It relates on a bargaining thing that you mentioned earlier when we didn't give a good trade. It wasn't a good trade.
Right. Okay, here's what happens. If you've been abused...
Yeah. Hey, I got to interrupt this because we've got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, that's it. A very quick ad and then Alan will be back.
Do you ever feel overlooked in your romantic relationships? Well, when it comes to love, sometimes it's good to be selfish. Find out why in the provocative book, The Selfish Path to Romance. Being selfish means valuing yourself, so your partner will value you. Discover the secrets to keeping yourself front and center in your relationship and building a romance that will last. Find The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Ellen Kenner and Edwin Locke on Amazon or at selfishromance.com. That's The Selfish Path to Romance on Amazon or selfishromance.com.
Okay, here's what happens. If you've been abused,
yeah.
And you will have, all of us carry fundamental ideas. What, you know, if you look at people, people have different personalities, Byron.
Oh, yeah,
and you say, well, what accounts for that? Well, they have core ideas, C-O-R-E ideas. That's what is called cognitive therapy. And you have a fundamental idea about yourself. I'm good, or I'm a loser, or I'm unlovable. And you have core ideas about other people. They're basically good, or they can't be trusted, or I have to cling to them because I'm dependent. And you have core ideas about the future. I can make it in this world, or I'll never get anywhere. And you have core ideas about the world itself. It's a horrible place to live, or it's a nice place. When you're brought up in an abusive situation, typically your core ideas are not great because your view of yourself is awful, your view of other people are awful, your view of your future in the world is awful. But you may be fighting for better ideas. You may get examples of better people. So there's a battleground going on inside of you. And it's not that you have two people inside or alter egos. It's that you have mixed core premises. You have mixed ideas at the foundation of your personality, and you need to resolve the contradiction, and that's what cognitive therapy is all about. I know we're right at the end of time, and I want to make one more comment, and then we need to wrap up. And that's that, you getting back to the anger, just because you feel the anger doesn't tell you how to act. And I think the way your sons are acting is proper. They can talk about themselves. Many people get messed up because they have the wrong standards of what should make them angry. They're very entitled, and they feel that they're owed the world. So standards can go off, and actually you need to know the skills of how to rationally act when you're feeling angry. And that doesn't mean without passion. It means without damaging yourself in the process. So thank you very much for your call.
And here's a little more from Dr. Kenner.
Self-sacrifice, we drool, is the ultimate virtue. Can a man sacrifice his integrity, his rights, his freedom, his convictions, the honesty of his feeling, the independence of his thought? Self-sacrifice? But it is precisely the self that cannot and must not be sacrificed. A man's self is his spirit. It is the unsacrificed self that we must respect in man above all.
And that is from The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. The book is by Ayn Rand, but it's from the movie The Fountainhead. And that issue of not sacrificing yourself, you know, you want to say something, but you hold it in and you stuff it and you feel like you're ready to burst, but you feel like keeping the peace is the best thing. And also not going after your values that you have no right to have the goodies in life that you've earned. You know, it's not taking things from people. But that idea that you're good if you sacrifice is the psychological killer, the counterpart, in my book, to to mental health. It's the counterpart to cancer. In the physical world, you know, cancer is a killer. And in the psychological world, altruism, self-sacrifice, giving up your values and your mind, your thinking, is the ultimate killer psychologically.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com and please listen to this ad.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Molly, a 62-year-old housewife, and her husband, Bill, were living the high life together until one day, Bill died of a heart attack. Molly was shocked to discover that they'd been living on borrowed money and that Bill had left her penniless. She had no clue about their financial situation. She had to go to work at minimum wage just to make ends meet. In this case, Bill's motives were not to protect his wife from financial responsibilities, but to protect her from his deceit. Protecting a loved one from basic knowledge needed to live, especially finances, is not a benefit. It leaves the, in quotes, protected partner feeling psychologically dependent on the knowledgeable one for basic needs, and is often used as a means of control rather than as an expression of love.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.